Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Ash Bros Podcast, episode 10, milestone, actually, here. And it's actually crazy to think about here, the 10th episode already, the Ash Bros Podcast. Pretty crazy. But we're all excited to bring this episode to you guys here. I'm Todd, of course, here with Peter, man. Peter, how are you doing today, man?
Man, doing well. Bit of a late one, actually. For those of you who don't know, usually we kind of record these a little earlier in the day, but obviously with some scheduling stuff, we had to kind of make it work. But man, bit of a late one today. I'm excited, man. We're getting to, in my opinion, like one of the most, again, a lot of these divisions are interesting, but this one in particular, there's just so much about it. And the main intrigue is because obviously there hasn't been a repeat winner in a long time. But the NFC East, man, I'm really excited to get into it with you.
Yeah, same here, man. The NFC East, one of the best divisions in football, in my opinion. And, you know, it's come a long way from 2020, where, you know, the Commanders won a division that year, 7 wins, I think it was, and all that stuff. And that was crazy, man. Oh, man, that was a wild year. But, yeah, now in the NFC East, there's some title contenders, some real Super Bowl contenders. You know, a place where the defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles are. And, yeah, it should be interesting. Division. So, Peter, why don't you go ahead here and start off with who you have in fourth place in the division this year?
Yeah, in fourth, I got the New York Giants. No surprise, I guess. I know a lot of people probably have them that low, too. But for me, they could be one of the most fun, worst, I guess, place finishers in the division in the NFL. I had them winning 5 games, but I guess this team being like a 4-6 win team. Maybe they get lucky and get 7, who knows? And why I think they're going to be so fun is because of that defensive line. Obviously, you know, a lot of times you talk about receivers and kind of running backs, and those guys are exciting to watch, and quarterbacks. But this defensive line, man, if you like just good technique play, these guys are going to wreak havoc this year. I mean, they got a boatload of talent there. Obviously, it all starts with Dexter Lawrence. He anchors everything. We know what he's about, right? Double-digit sacks machine for a guy that's that big is incredible, especially at a D-tackle position. But then you got Kayvon Thibodeau, who I'm not the biggest fan of, but he can play. He's also a true baller. And then you pair that up with Brian Burns, and then that top three, number 3rd overall draft pick, Abdul Carter, man. He is a different level of intense, different level of competitor, different level of talent. And other than Micah, again, he's even bigger than Micah, right? But other than Micah, he might be the most athletic DN in the league. Like, he's up there with some of these guys, TJ Watts and the Miles Garrett. Like, he's up there. And his first step is incredible. I'm really looking forward to see what they can do, because I feel like they're just going to be able to do some things to teams and honestly give their teams a chance to be in games and be competitive because of those D-lines. So even though I think they're going to be down in the division, they're going to be in the mix because that defensive line is so talented and so good, where I think they'll create sacks, turnovers, they'll be in a position to win games. It's just the problem with this team, again, is for me, it's the offense, right? It starts with the offensive line. Offensive line's not great. They had problems last year, didn't really truly address it this year. And then at quarterback, you're starting Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, for what he is, he's a Hall of Famer. And that's my opinion. I think he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. Do I think at this point of his career he's playing at a Hall of Fame level? No. And that's the problem, right? I think with Jameis Winston, the ceiling's actually probably a little bit higher. We saw Jameis in Cleveland last year. He looked smooth, looked pretty good. And even though I was a hater of him, and you know this, he looked good with the Browns last year. But Russ, I'm not too sure about him. I'm not the biggest fan of him right now. They took Jackson Dart in the first round, moved up to get him, but I don't know where he's at. And to be honest, in college, from what I saw from him, I didn't think he was that good. There's just too many questions around that offense, where I just feel like Malik Nabers is going to have to make play after play. Cam Scadaboo, Tyrone Tracy are going to have to make play after play, and I don't know if they have enough to do that in a very tough division. So, again, they'll be fun to watch. Defensively, they're going to have everything you want to have in a team. Their secondary got a lot better, adding right Javon Holland, Paulson Adebo, and obviously having a defensive line. I just don't know if it's enough to beat these really talented teams that are in your division. So, yeah, I got him fourth for that very reason.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. You know, with the Giants there, you having them in their own fourth place. I also have the Giants finishing in fourth place with a 4-13 record, which means they would only improve by 1 game from last season. But I don't know. I look at this team, and like you said, I think their defense is going to be pretty good, especially their defensive front. I mean, you mentioned it, man. All the guys they got there, adding Abdul Carter to that defensive line, which was already really good last year. That's going to be tough, man. And Dexter Lawrence, who's, you know, the best nose tackle in the NFL as well. Even that linebacker, Bobby Orekirike, Hopefully I didn't butcher his name there, but he's a really good linebacker. He's one of the most underrated linebackers, I feel like, in the league. I feel like a lot of people don't really talk about him, but he does everything well. I remember him when he was on the Colts too. He was a pretty good linebacker there. So he's a good player. You mentioned Adebo and Jaron Holland. Those are two good additions. Tyler Newbin, but he also got a safety as well. He was pretty solid in his rookie year last year. So I like their defense. I just look at their offense and I'm like, I don't know. Brian Daboll, honestly, I think he was a good offensive coordinator. We saw there in Buffalo. As a head coach, though, I don't think he's a horrible head coach, but I just feel like with the Giants, you know, they don't have the greatest playmakers, like you said, as well on offense. Malik Neighbors obviously is a stud, but outside of him, it's not looking like they don't have like the greatest skill position players there. You know, guys like Wanda Robertson and, you know, Darius Slayton, they have some talent, but it's not like compared to, you know, the Eagles and the Cowboys and a lot of stuff. It's just not really comparable. So I feel like Russell Wilson, he'll do what he can do. He's a veteran quarterback. He won't make a lot of mistakes. I think he'll control the ball, which is what they need. But I think overall, they're kind of just going to struggle. And we'll see. Maybe Jackson Dart, the rookie quarterback, will get some time to play. But I think the Giants will just continue to, you know, kind of just be in the basement there in the NFC East and finish with a losing record for the 8th time in the last 10 years.
Yeah, and it's just hard to go for a team like the Giants. I don't know, to see this team like the Giants kind of succeeding too much. You mentioned Brian Daboll. Could he be on the hot seat, right? Like, I know he hasn't had the most talent, much talent to work with and has had issues over there, but you've been there for a couple of years now, and it's been kind of the same recurring thing. You don't really know what you're doing at quarterback, right? Even a move to get Jameis, both Jameis and Russ, was kind of weird. If you're going to trade up for Jackson Dart, why not just have one of them? Both of those guys being there and then getting Dart is like, now you have a carousel and you're paying a decent amount of money for both those guys. It's like, why? A lot of questions with Daboll. And yeah, he honestly, I know you're not saying this, but I'll say it. Maybe a little in over his head as a head coach. And it's just reality with some of these coordinators, right? They come in, they think they can do too much, and it's just not really for them. So we'll see. It wouldn't shock me if they're not good this year. Again, we both don't think they're going to be that great. If he does get let go and they just end up going like, we don't like where this is going, right? And I don't know, a lot is going to lie on Jackson Dart's improvement. Like, if Jackson Dart isn't good right away and they end up playing this guy in like week 8 going forward and he just looks bad and there's no flashes, there could be problems there.
I was going to say one thing actually real quick with Brian Daboll, because, or at least his era with the Giants here in terms of since he's been there. His first year, they won 9 games. Second year, they won 6 games. And last year, they won 3 games. So it's decreased by 3 every single year. So if that continues, the Giants are going to be the first team in NFL history to go 0-17, it would be. So I don't think that's going to happen. But
oh my gosh. That's crazy. Like, that's just, but that's the problem. Like, it's just like, what do you, if you're a fan of the team, right? A lot of people really wanted, you were hoping to get Cam Ward. I know a Giants, one of my buds at work, I know he really wanted them to get Cam Ward. And then you fall a couple picks short because you win a meaningless game, right? In the last game of the season. And you, a couple of those games there where it's like, what are you guys doing? Like, it's.
Oh, yeah. When they beat the Colts.
Yeah. And it's like, but like, why? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what's the. It really weird. Weird stuff. And I think, that was week 17, not week 8, or week 6, yeah, 17, I think, or something like that. But that, it's just weird that stuff like that happens. Anyways, that brings me to my third team, a team I think is going to finish third in the division, and that's the Dallas Cowboys. I got them at a 9-8 record. And to be honest, I don't know, this is a weird kind of, I'm always like, I'm so indecisive with these picks. Like, I don't know if I'm just up and down about some of these teams, but I got them with a positive record. I don't know if 9-8 is going to be enough for them to get in the playoffs. Probably won't, because it's the NFC. But I can see some decent things happening for this team. For the first time since 2006, a Schottenheimer, head coach in the NFL again, right? Brian taking over for Mike McCarthy as the new team's new leader. And obviously we know his late father, Marty, for his Marty ball and stuff like that, and his coaching ability. He's coached for 21 years in the NFL. And he had good regular season success, but the problem with him was in the playoffs, his teams would kind of just fold and wouldn't do as well. Brian is super determined to change that. And it's funny because I actually can say and vouch for that and verify that because their media conference, I think they had one like a week ago when the Micah Parsons stuff happened with Jerry Jones. Brian was like basically saying, hey, we won a Super Bowl. Like, my dad didn't win one. We won a Super Bowl. I'm going, basically, literally, he's going to his dad's grave and we'll give that Super Bowl ring to his dad almost, right? So it's like really impressive stuff by him. He seems like a really good, impressive dude. knows the game. Obviously, with a father like that, you're going to know the game. And the one thing he's determined to do, it looks like, is he's ready to bring back fun and, like, intensity back to the Cowboys, which is somebody you haven't had in quite some time. I feel like when he had Jason Garrett and a few other guys, they weren't really intense, you know? Mike McCarthy kind of wanted to do that, but it didn't really work with Mike McCarthy. That's not his thing. Mike McCarthy's more methodical, if you will, right? He's not really, like, the intense guy. Brian looks like he's intense. Like, he wants these guys to, you know, fight for him, do whatever it takes to win. And so they got that going for them. I like that type of energy, right? Even with the Jerry Jones in the background saying what he's saying. But they have talent on both sides of the ball, obviously, right? Getting George Pickens was huge. They needed another guy to complement CeeDee Lamb, right? We saw it last year how bad it was. CeeDee Lamb's getting double-teamed. He's getting injured. Not much they could do, right? Offensively, even with Dak's injury post and before it. But now with George Pickens, you add a deep ball element and also a guy who can be a true possession guy for you that's not just CeeDee Lamb in the slot. This guy can really go get the ball in 50-50 possessions whenever he needs to do. You add that with a fully healthy Jake Ferguson. I want to add fully healthy. People hated on him last year, and he was hurt. He dealt with a lot of injuries last year. Him fully healthy, he's one of the better young tight ends in the game. I'll stand on that. Rip on me if you want to. Right? You have him there. The only question with their offense is going to be the offensive line and how they do. Obviously, the injury to Tyler Guyton is huge. Right? I know it's not an ACL that people feared. It's a broken, I think, tibia or whatever it is, part of his leg. It's a little fractured, but that's still a 4 to 6 week injury. If he's not, you know, back right away, or if he ends up not being that great and their replacement's not good, could be problematic. Also, their run game was basically non-existent last year. It might not be existent again this year because they don't really have a designated guy. And add that with an offensive line might be an issue. So, again, the reason I like this team so much is because, again, I still think they have big playability with their offense and their defense. When you have guys like Micah Parsons, right? And your front seven's pretty good. Dante Fowler, Mozzie Smith. You can kind of work with that, right? Sam Williams being good. If Overshown comes back, right, from his traumatic injuries to his legs, he comes back and he starts playing well. You got guys in the mix that can play really well and maybe create turnovers, right? I don't know. My thing is just secondary, you're going to have some issues there too or some questions, right? I know Trevon Diggs is there, Deron Bland's there. Kyrie Elam's interesting, man. He needed to rejuvenate his career after that stint he had in Buffalo. It wasn't great. So, again, there's still question marks there with this team, but I do think they'll be fun to watch. I do think they'll do just enough to win enough games to succeed. It wouldn't shock me again if they're a 7-9 win team. I did say 9 wins, but there are some holes there. But I do like the Cowboys obviously making things interesting in what could be the best division in football.
Yeah, no, you made a lot of good points there with the Cowboys. You know, obviously with, you know, Dak Prescott making his return, you know, obviously last year was really a, you know, down season for him. Even before the injuries, he was just struggling. Didn't look like himself, especially from, you know, 2023, where he was absolutely fantastic. I mean, he finished in the top 5 in MVP voting and all that. So, you know, last year he just couldn't really put it together, and it wasn't really all his fault. You look at the running backs, obviously that was the biggest thing there. They really just struggled to run the ball and whatnot. But I want to talk about the Cowboys a little bit later on, because I actually have them one of my top 2 slots in this division. I actually have the Washington Commanders finishing in 3rd place in NFC East this year with a 9-8 record, and I think they will just barely miss the playoffs. I know that's kind of a hot take, considering they, you know, were a game away from the Super Bowl last year and whatnot. They had that great year with Jaden Daniels, but I don't know. I look at this team, and I think Jaden Daniels is awesome. I think he's already one of the best quarterbacks in the league. We'll see what happens with Terry McLaurin, which is, like, the biggest thing. Like, he's, you know, a wonderful receiver, all-pro receiver last year. Can they get him signed to a contract extension? I don't know. I feel like looking at the new ownership of this team, I feel like they're going to get it done. But until they actually get it done and, you know, the ink is dry on that, you know, on that contract, you know, he's going to continue to hold in at training camp there. So we'll see what happens with that. I look at the running game, and obviously Jaden Daniels adds a lot to the running game with his legs. But Brian Robinson Jr., Austin Eckler, I think that's the worst. I'm not saying they're bad, but I think it's the worst running back duo or attack, honestly, in the NFC East, in the division.
Oh, that's it. That's a take. Okay.
Yeah, it's a very hot take. Actually, sorry, they're the second worst. I think Dallas has the worst rushing attack. I thought about it for a second.
Okay. I didn't say that. Okay. Yeah, I was gonna say interesting. Okay.
I thought about it for a second. I was like, wait. No, Ezekiel Elliott's not there anymore. Prime Zeke's not there. So yeah. Anyways. But yeah, I mean, their offensive line is good. I like Laremy Tunsil move. I think that was a good move, risky move, but he's a good left tackle, and they added some other guys there too. But then I look at their defense. I actually like their secondary. I think Mike Sanistro was pretty good last year as a rookie. Marshawn Lattimore. And then you have Trey Amos, who they drafted. So I think those three, that's a pretty, you know, good cornerback trio there. But those edge rushers, I know Dan Quinn's a great defensive coach, but Von Miller at this point, he's, you know, he's not Von Miller from a decade ago or even a few years ago. He's not the same player. Dorrance Armstrong's a good player, but he's not an elite, you know, elite pass rusher. And I think Dan Quinn can get them to a good level, but I just think in that division, the margins are going to be very slim. Last year, even, they were very, very good on fourth down with Jaden Daniels. They converted 20 of their 23 fourth down attempts last year. It's 87% success rate, which is actually the highest out of any NFL team in the modern era since 2000. So obviously Jaden Daniels is still there, but and Cliff Kingsbury is there, the offensive coordinator. But to be able to replicate that, it's kind of like unsustainable. So I feel like they were really unsustainable last year in general. And I just feel like they're going to be a decent team. But, you know, now teams not going to be able to sneak up on teams anymore. You're the Commanders, right? Now you got to go and everyone's going to be circling them on their calendars. So I feel like they're going to be good, but not as good as they were last year.
That's interesting, man. That's an interesting thing. I get what you're saying with the fourth quarter stuff. I do. I understand that. And I know there's some things to look at with this team that might have them kind of treading down because of the receiver situation and kind of how the outlook of the team is. And you did mention the fourth down stuff, but I don't know. I like the Washington Commanders, man. And for me, I guess that moves on to my second team, but I got the Commanders finishing second in the division with a 10-7 record, and which is basically a game, I guess, over yours, and it's close. But I do have them. I like to think they make the playoffs with that record. Maybe they don't, but I do have them with a 10-7 record. They are incredibly interesting. Like you said, I mean, the fourth down stuff to me is interesting, and I know it's crazy. It's almost a crazy thing that's not really sustainable. I don't think that mark's sustainable, but I think that's just who a part of who they are. I think just like the Lions, when we look at teams that go for it and successfully get it, I think that's who the Commanders are, man. They're not afraid. Dan Quinn is a very aggressive coach in everything he does, defensively, how he attacks special teams, and I guess even in offense, getting out of Cliff Kingsbury, when he got him, a lot of guys were down on Cliff. Guys were saying, oh, he was a one-trick pony in college. He's just a high, flashy passing game attack coordinator. He did the same thing. Oh, with Kyler Murray, it was the same problem. He's just a high, flashy guy, high and like kind of running gun style offensive guy. And he kind of proved people wrong last year, man. I know that running game wasn't as great without Jaden. Jaden was obviously the leading rusher. But he so maximized what it was with that offensive line being what it was. The middle of it is good, but they had tackle problems and they had issues. And I think they kind of addressed both of those, getting Laremy Tunsil, right? You put him on the left. Josh Connerly, assuming he wins the job of the right tackle. Now you got him, too. So there's two significant upgrades from the guys they had last year who were just basically letting anybody, and I mean anybody, get to them. That's why Jaden had to make a bunch of highlight plays because those edge spots were just killing their tackles. So I think those are significant moves that they made, and they're quietly, quietly good moves. Tunsil, the jury's still up on him sometimes with the offside stuff, but he's got to be better than whatever the heck they had last year. I mean, last year it was a mess over there. It seemed like Jaden sometimes was all over the place, and I know he was a rookie, but it also had to do with those guys just getting fried all the time. The biggest thing, I do agree with you that a big point for them being interesting too and maybe even in some trouble is the Terry McLaurin thing. I know some people were saying, various reporters were saying, well, I mean, they can be patient, he's older, and et cetera. But I don't know how you just say those things and kind of just look at it and go, oh, they're going to be fine. When in reality, a guy like that, especially a guy like Terry who needs to get warmed up, if he's 30 and they're saying all those things are true, he needs to get warmed up. It's not good for guys to always come into kind of training camp or into the season raw, right? And just ready to go. Jamar Chase is Jamar Chase. He defied all odds last year when he had no camp, basically. Showed up late and said, screw it, I don't even care if you don't want to pay me. I'm going to play. He played and got a triple crown. But even remember, he was slow starting to the year. He didn't have a great start to the year. He was kind of up and down, and then he went nuclear. So could you imagine what his stats would have been if he just had a full training camp and was just ready to go off-rip and they paid him? So I think the longer you wait with this stuff, the worse it can get. And I don't know if it's a good idea for them to do that, especially because the Bengals had T. Higgins as a number two. You got Deebo Samuel. No offense to Deebo Samuel. I know he looks a lot more smoother in his route running. He did work with an Instagram influencer named Route God, who is known for helping guys obviously route up and get better. I just don't think he's the number one, and that's just my opinion. And you're relying on a bunch of young guys to get the job done. Luke McCaffrey's, he's all right. I think he's decent. I don't think he's his brother in any shape. I don't think he's his dad either. I like Jalen Lane a lot. I think he's going to be a good, young, talented receiver. But you're relying on him to do work right away. I don't know if that's a sustainable thing. Zach Ertz is older. it'd be in their best interest to sign him right away. I do think the running game could be interesting this year in the sense that they got this kid named Ja'Cory Kwaski-Merritt. They drafted him, I think, in the fourth or fifth round, correct me if I'm wrong. But the reason why he went so low in the draft is because he was at Arizona. And when he tried to transfer, because he had a different number, he wanted to switch the number late. And when he switched that number, the NCAA basically deemed him ineligible because they're like, you can't change numbers this late into the season. So he played one game last year. And that's all NFL teams got out of him, except for a good combine. So he went low in the draft, but he was a projected second, third round pick. They got that kid late. I think he could be a stud. He could be a steal there. He has some big time runs in training camp so far. He ends up breaking out and gets a spot there and replaces, you know, Austin Ekeler in that type of role. All of a sudden, you got some juice there. It wouldn't shock me if they do a little better in the run game. Obviously, the defense, you know, we saw last time we saw their defense play in the NFC Championship game. It wasn't good. They did make some moves to address that, but they did lose Jonathan Allen. Could be worrisome. I still think this team is good enough and talented enough. And when you add a guy like Dan Quinn manning that defense, as long as they get the McLaurin deal done, I see it happening eventually. I think the team's going to be good enough to make the playoffs and once again, maybe create a storm because they got enough to make it happen. They did correct kind of some of the things they needed to correct. Now it's just going to be about can these young guys around Jaden start taking steps with him.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I think you made a good point with, like, especially them getting Tunsil and Connolly because, yeah, the offensive line is definitely much improved. And even, like, Brandon Coleman, who was a rookie last year, and he was starting a lot of the games. Now he's a backup, probably. Or if he does start, he's going to start as a starting guard. So it definitely gives him more depth as well. I was kind of confused about a Javon Kinlaw move as well. You know, paying him 3 years for you know, $45 million contract. So that's $15 million a year. I mean, like, I kind of get it because, like, their GM was with the 49ers before, and he has a connection with Kinlaw because Kinlaw was drafted by the 49ers. But I don't know. I look at it, and it's like Jonathan Allen was making $18 million a year. I know he's older, but you couldn't re-sign him to, like, or you couldn't just keep him on his current deal for one more year. And I don't know. I feel like that was kind of a wrong move there. And like you said, too, with Deebo Samuel, I think I don't think he's the same player he used to be with injuries and just his style of play and whatnot. He's not a number one wide receiver. So they got to re-sign McLaurin ASAP for sure. I guess that's kind of why I have them a little lower, but I don't understand why you'd have them with 10 wins. You know, Jaden Daniels, at the end of the day, he really is that good. So, you know, if anyone's going to propel them and help them stay afloat and continue to make a great, you know, kind of usher a new era in for Washington. They haven't had back-to-back winning seasons since 2015-16 and 2016-17. I think Jaden Daniels is the guy that could lead them there. So, I guess for my second place team, actually, I said I was going to mention them a little bit more, but I do have the Dallas Cowboys in second place with an 11-6 record, which might be a little shocking to some people there because, you know, you look at this team and, you know, there's a lot of talent on it and whatnot, but I don't know. I think Dak Prescott coming back from that injury, I think he's going to have a good year. Adding George Pickens, adding CeeDee Lamb, or already having CeeDee Lamb and having George Pickens there, I think that's a good move there. Even their defense, too. I look at, you know, Micah Parsons and whatnot. Obviously, they got to get him re-signed, but I think, you know, we all know how good he is. And their D-line overall is pretty deep. So I like them there. And then I think you look at the secondary, too, with Trevon Diggs, Deron Bland. You know, obviously, they have their criticisms or, you know, kind of their, you know, stuff what they do there because they're not the greatest in, you know, overall coverage. But they're really good at taking the ball away. And I think this year with Matt Eberflus as their new defensive coordinator, I think they're going to get back to that kind of style what they have with Dan Quinn when he was their DC a few years ago. Because from 2021 to 2023, actually the Cowboys got 93 takeaways. They notched 93 takeaways over those three seasons, the most in the NFL. Last year, he had 22, which is a good number. But I think this year, it wouldn't be surprising to get back into those high 20s, maybe even low 30s. So, yeah, I think they'll have a good bounce back year in 2024. And I look for Dallas to make things very interesting and make it hard on the Eagles to repeat as division champions in 2025.
Interesting, man. I do like them. Again, like, they could be very well in the mix. Again, I think if they maximize what they have, then I do agree with what you're saying. But I think it has to be almost a maximize for them to achieve that 11-6 record or whatever. I just think there's always something with the Cowboys. I do like them. I just think they run into themselves. They run into their own way a lot. And there's a lot to like, but there's also a lot not to like with this team, the personalities they have, and kind of how they operate over there. It's just weird. It's a weird situation. But they could win those many games. I could see it happening. They could make some splashes. And again, that leads me to my first team, the Philadelphia Eagles. I have them finishing first with a 12-5 record. And as I was saying, to connect that point, was like, you never know what's his division because you could be onto something. Again, we haven't had a repeat winner since 2004, since the Eagles did it in 2004, in 2003, 2004. And I expect him to do that this year. But you never know with his division because it's happened so much. I feel like people say this division sucks or it's annoying. But the fact that we haven't had a division winner or repeat winner in that long, over 20 years, it shows you how deep this division is, you know? But yeah, with that being said, I do have the Eagles repeating as NFC East champions. They just really, I'll keep it simple. We know what they have. We know what they're going to do. I think it's just two true major questions with this team. First, it's offensively, right? Losing Kellen Moore could hurt them a little bit. Again, I feel like people really underestimated how good of a play caller he is at times. People are like, oh, he's kind of dumb. No, he's time with the Chargers wasn't great. And no, like he knew what he was doing. He called very wonderful games. When it was time to run the ball, he ran the ball. When it was time to pass the ball, he passed. Like, it seemed like he always had an idea of what to do given the circumstance. Losing Jalen Hurts sometimes, he had to deal with it. Losing this guy, he had to deal with it. A receiver is hurt, he dealt with it. Like, it always seemed like some obstacle would come up and Kellen Moore would find his way out of it by scheming up the right play. Even with the talent he had, he still found out how to make it work. Now they're relying on Kevin Pitullo to kind of do the job. And he's been around there for a while, but he'll be the fourth offensive coordinator they've had in as many years. That's a lot of guys to switch up again. People don't give Jalen Hurts enough credit for being able to work with multiple guys every single year. It's actually very impressive how he's been able to do that. And I don't even talk about it enough. Silver lining again with Pitullo, like I said before, is he's been with his team for a couple of years. He kind of knows how the offense wants. You want to run the offense. You obviously want to start with the trenches. The trench plays, they're probably the best offensive line in the league right now. You want to work with what you have and your strengths. I'm sure they'll run the ball with Saquon and do what they do. But will he be as adjustable as Kellen Moore? And is he willing to kind of go outside the box and retool if they run into trouble, which could easily happen if things get stale? We've seen it before with these Eagles teams. And the other question for me is defensively, are they going to be able to adjust after losing six key pieces to that defense, right? You lost four Super Bowl starters in Josh Sweat, Oren Burks, right? Darius Slay, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. And then you also lost Milton Williams, who was damn near a starter, and Brandon Graham. And even though Brandon Graham was old, he was a good mentor for that defensive line. That's six key guys from your Super Bowl winning team gone, right? Now, can you adjust with that? We'll see. They did address some things. Obviously, signed a couple of guys. Got Aziz Ojulari, who can be good. Josh Uche at the edge. Two edge guys that are veterans, but haven't really put it together career-wise yet. They're both kind of, I call them Madden legends because they're very good in Madden, but in real life, they haven't really hit that upper threshold. Does that make sense? You got Adoree Jackson, who I like, but he's up and down, you know, not really too consistent. And then they added super talented. I think they had a really good first two rounds of the draft, right? You got Jihad Campbell at middle linebacker. That's another guy who could be really, really good for you. Dynamic, super athletic. Just needs to make sure to calm down a little bit and settle into this game. But if Nicole Dean ends up being injured too long, you can throw him in there. And this guy, his Campbell Duke can ball, man. He was great for Alabama last year. And Andrew Mukuba out of Texas. He played for Clemson his first couple of years, transferred to Texas, looked really good at Texas, and he fell to the second round. I really don't know why he fell to the second round, but I guess it was such a deep draft. He ended up going there. But the Eagles got two really good studs at their picks. So those guys can maybe fill in right away and maybe use your edge guys. But it's going to be very interesting because, again, we know what they're about. We know their talent. I don't want to get into all the guys they have. It's just going to be about can they manage some of the losses they've had. Because for them, it's more so intermediate stuff. And right away, you got to fill the void that guys simply last year were there for. And now you don't really have that mentorship, that true leadership, and you don't have the continuality, or I guess the word would be consistency that you've had dating back to last year. You just lost a lot. So can you sustain that level of success that you had last year with a bunch of new guys is my biggest question.
Yeah, you make a good point with the Eagles there in terms of like losing all those key guys and can they replace them. Even defensively, I think their biggest question, they have two big questions actually defensively, in my opinion. First, edge rusher-wise, because you know, obviously they lost Josh Sweat in free agency, like you said, and then Brandon Graham to retirement. Nolan Smith, I like a lot. I think he's going to be really good, but who's going to be, you know, helping on the other side is the biggest question there. Can they be consistent in doing that? And then at cornerback too, Quinion Mitchell is awesome. He's number one corner. But then outside of that, I've heard some rumblings that they're going to, you know, and when they're playing their base defense, Cooper DeJean is going to be the outside guy. And then when they, you know, move on to like nickel, they might play, you know, DeJean was slot corner last year. They might keep him there. But then they also might, you know, play DeJean at safety as well. So there might be a lot of moving parts. Can they find a consistent number two corner next to, you know, Mitchell? Is it going to be Dory Jackson? Is it going to be Keeley Ringo? Is it going to be maybe a trade deadline acquisition, right? We don't know. So that's my biggest question for them. But another thing, too, you look at their schedule is pretty tough to start the season. You know, you play Dallas to start off. Then you go to Kansas City for the Super Bowl rematch. Then the Rams, who played them very tough in the playoffs. The Buccaneers in Tampa Bay. The Buccaneers always seem to have the Eagles number recently. And then you host the Broncos, who we talked about when we were talking about the AFC West. I mean, they have a very good team as well. So those first five games are going to kind of, you know, show a lot about the Eagles in terms of how they're going to do this season. I think they'll be able to handle it just fine. They're the defending Super Bowl champions after all, but it's going to be tough. It's not going to be easy. And we'll see what happens with them there. But I think overall, looking at this team, you know, they're definitely, obviously, you know, you got to put the number one in the power rankings coming into this year. Just based on the sheer talent that they have and what they did last year. So it'll be interesting to see, but I think Jalen Hurts and company will be up for it. And I think they'll win the division as well for 11-6 record. And from there, we'll see if they can, you know, become the first team. Actually, not the first team, because the Chiefs just went back to back. So they'll kind of continue what the Chiefs have been doing in terms of going back to back and, you know, kind of just dominating the NFL and leaving their imprint there. So we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah, man. I just want to say quick, with that Eagles team, I guess, too, with consistency, people don't understand how hard it is to just keep on, like, moving and keep on going forward and adjust to whatever comes at you. And it seems like the Eagles have been doing that over the last couple of years, regardless of what happens, Super Bowl loss, complete collapse, and then a Super Bowl win. They still have to deal with the same thing, guys leaving. So, again, it's tough, man. The Chiefs make it look easy when they just keep all these guys. And even the best of the best sometimes can't keep everyone they have, so you got to just kind of retool and recharge. It's going to be very interesting to see if they can do that through all the stuff that happens in the NFL.
Exactly. Yeah, you make a good point. That's exactly why, you know, in the playoffs, you know, usually there's at least four new playoff teams every single year, right? It's really hard to consistently win in the NFL and make those deep playoff runs. So it'll be interesting to see if the Eagles under Nick Sirianni, they've been able to do it twice. Can they do it again this year? We'll see. I think they have a good chance, but you never know in the NFL. That's why, you know, not for long, right? Championship window is not open for long. So, but with that being said, we appreciate you guys for listening to this episode of the Ash Bros podcast. And we can't wait to see you guys in the next one. See you guys.